Welcome back to Legal Tech Made Simple with me, Dom Birch. I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a techie, which makes me perfectly qualified to make legal tech simple. Join me in this podcast as I interview legal engineers, software developers, law firms, large corporations and companies who are at the leading and cutting edge of legal tech. And I'm delighted today to be joined by Tim Pullen. Tim is the founder and CEO of Thought River. They describe themselves as the intelligent contract pre-screening leader. And in 2015, Tim relocated from Singapore here to the UK to develop Thought River's technology in Cambridge, one of the world's leading centres for natural language processing and machine learning. Now, Tim's a regular writer and speaker on the role of data and machine learning in transforming legal risk management. And we welcome Tim to Legal Tech Made Simple. Tim, delighted to have you on our podcast.
Tom, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. What a great intro.
I'm in an esteemed company. It's one of the delights of having this podcast. I'm getting some big hitters on the show already. So let's jump back a few years, shall we? And just tell our listeners what prompted you to create Thought River.
Yeah, I think like a lot of entrepreneurs that are driven by a kind of vision, it was just an itch that I just had to scratch. Lawyers were basically really good negotiators, but they were actually very poor at recording what they had negotiated. And I decided that just through many years of working in law and outside of law, that the answer to that was ultimately to bring structure to at least the sort of majority of what lawyers do.
And I'm right in thinking your own research has identified huge inefficiencies, in particularly around contract review. I think you estimate that to be around $40 billion. So just explain for people who perhaps aren't au fait yet with Thought River how your tech helps reduce that wastage.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably best to start with the problem because $40 billion is a lot of money. But actually, it's really a drop in the ocean of the real problem, because that's just the cost of lawyers reading stuff they don't need to read. The real cost is businesses they're supporting, the deals they're doing, which are slower, more costly, opportunities lost. And we haven't actually tried to calculate that, but it is orders of magnitude bigger. You can talk about these big macro numbers and people say, wow, but actually what's really super interesting whenever you've got a macro problem like that is to dive straight down into the micro. You know, what is the reason why we have this situation today where lawyers are having to read things they don't need to read? And in contract, the micro is to do with what happens on every deal, actually hundreds, if not thousands of times sometimes on every deal, which is that lawyers have a tendency to reword things which are quite common in their own way. They do that with professional pride, but every time they do that, they are creating a job for someone else, which is to read that thing, or actually often many other people. And that in micro is the problem that gives you the macro. I'll put some real numbers on it in terms of that micro problem. So we got our data scientists to look at just around about 1.5 million contracts. And I asked them to tell me how many different ways lawyers had found to write the clause of the point of meaning in a contract, which is says, you know, the law of this contract is X, you know, could be England and Wales, could be New York, could be California. One of the simplest things you can say in a contract, average clause length of sort of 50 to 60 words. And in those 1.5 million contracts, they found 335,000 different variations that lawyers had created of that very simple thing in a contract. And that is just one small example. But if you just take that one small micro example and you look at, say, the population of lawyers in the States, about 1.3 million, pretty stable number, and you make some very conservative assumptions around, you know, they may only encounter 1% of these variations in their entire career, for example, you end up with 2 million hours being wasted every year by American lawyers simply reading law of contract clauses. And of course, actually, there are many, many more complex but very common things in contract, which are far more vulnerable to being reworded and wasted reading time. So that in micro is the problem that we face today when we are trying to bring acceleration and more structure and efficiency to contracting processes.
It's quite sometimes difficult to visualize a product like this, but just describe it, because I guess what you're getting down to is the fundamentals here is to build playbooks and common clauses, and then to almost have this sort of library, almost like a tree, if you like, a decision tree that allows people to build a contract with standardized terms and obviously tailored for the specific of that organization or that industry. But is that how the, you know, in the background, is that how the product's working?
Yeah, and I think there's just one mini step between the problem and the playbooks, which is structure. So all those thousands of ways of saying the same thing, fundamentally, the first step is we summarize it as one thing. And we do that in order to enable lawyers to assimilate information more quickly. So instead of having to read lots of different variations, they only ever get a kind of consistent summary of the same common issues. And that's a fundamental foundation to our approach to the problem. Once you have that foundation, that knowledge tree-like structure that you refer to, that introduces consistency into the common parts of contract review, once you've got that, you can then start automating things. You can start automating the application of playbooks. You can start automating remediation. You can start automating reporting and information sharing. But the thing that enables all of that to have a consistent, universal data model on which all of these other use cases and applications can rest.
So bring it right up to today. Describe for us maybe a use case of a large organization that might be, because you know, a lot of companies that we're doing work for will be working on third-party papers. They're not necessarily contracting on their own terms, but they're having to, you know, do deals with other people's terms, and they're having to read those contracts line by line to see there's nothing in there that they don't like, or there's, you know, important clauses that are missing.
Yeah, so a classic use case is in the commercial contract space. So if you take, say, one side of commercial contracts, which would be sales contracts, as you say, a lot of our clients, even though they're big companies, they trade with other companies that may be even bigger, but which insist on their terms. So, you know, typical portfolio might be, you know, 40% own terms but amended. Which is just as bad as being on third-party paper, or just kind of starting point was just third-party paper. Take a sort of a legal team that's supporting sales function. So they get inbound contracts. It might be the first draft of a contract. It might be the seventh draft, you know, that they have been working on with their counterparty. Before they've even seen this draft, what's happened to it is it's already been reviewed by our system, and then it's sent to them by email, and so they get an email in the same way they would normally on Outlook. But when they open that email, the document that's attached to that email, first thing they see in the email is a summary of what's in that contract. So they've got a sense of the sort of size of the number of issues that they may need to deal with, and the kind of nature of the task. But when they then open the Word document, what they have is, in the right-hand panel embedded within the Microsoft Word environment, is they have a commentary which shows them where the sort of the routine things that they need to look for are set out in that contract if they are issues. And where there are issues, it's not only showing them, you know, the text which carries that issue, or maybe the issue is that there's no text in there, as in there's a clause missing. But then it also helps them actually do their work. So their work is, well, I either accept this, so it enables them to take an action like accepting, or I need to redraft it, so it will redline the document using native Word functionality, or comment on the document. And maybe they need to put a comment in there for an internal stakeholder, or indeed the counterparty. So it's helping them do all three of those tasks and then helping them get it back out the door as quickly as possible. Now, actually, even though these sales agreements are pretty sort of, they're always selling the similar thing, actually in every deal there'll be something that's different. And that's really where you want your lawyer, your experienced negotiator, focusing. So what we are doing is we're helping them deal with the more common things and then having them spend more of their time dealing with the issues which are actually more important, which generally don't sit in the legal terms conditions, generally those issues sit in some of the sort of commercial arrangements that really define whether this is going to be a good deal or a bad deal. Of course, their manager can see what's going on across all of the user base, because each one of those deal, those contracts that's coming in, each version of that contract is generating huge amounts of data that can then be used for insight and analysis to help kind of fine-tune processes.
And as I understand it, you have a full-service API, don't you? So your product is one that can plug in, because increasingly what we find when we're talking to customers now is that actually we're either having to do a bit of a Frankenstein job and take some new tech and help it plug into all the other things they have, or frankly, don't give them any new tech, get the processes sorted out first and use the tech they already have. And actually Office 365 is a pretty powerful tool, isn't it, when you use it to its full degree?
It is... For me, it is king. I started out in law mid-90s, and mid-90s we used to redline documents in Microsoft Word, and we used to send them to our counterparts in Microsoft Outlook. And 25 years later, most lawyers, 95% of lawyers doing contract negotiation are doing exactly the same thing. And there's lots of reasons for it. It's not just to do with lawyers' sort of comfort zone. It's actually to do with the design of these tools, which is so fundamental. It's so well designed for the sort of work the lawyers do. So for us, it was essential that everything that we do, bringing all that intelligence and support, we needed to bring it into the environment where the lawyer felt, you know, not just most comfortable, but most concentrated, most effective, most productive. And so we see our role. Yes, the API, you can plug us into any host system. And indeed, you could plug us into other word processing systems as well. But fundamentally, we believe that lawyers are, it's certainly in what they are producing today in contract review, are most effective when they're working in Microsoft Word.
Now, I'm right in thinking you segment the contract review universe into two buckets. You might not call them buckets, but anyway, one would be intelligent search and the other intelligent summarization, with companies like Kira, Seal, Eigen on one side and you on the other. So just give us a sense of what makes you different.
Yeah, so I think if we take the Kiras, the Luminances, so on and so forth, what those guys, really where they go, those guys come from is a world where they are reviewing kind of closed bundles of documents, typically in due diligence cases. So unsurprisingly, you know, a lot of their early markets started with law firms, legal service providers, and that's really the origin of their products. And essentially what they are enabling is an intelligent search capability, which is obviously very effective for those kind of use cases. Where we draw quite a clear distinction is between that and the market in which we sit, which is intelligent summarization, which is really driven again by the use case. So intelligent summarization is like taking AI and attaching an expert system to it. Because if you are going to do the first pass review of a contract, what the user really needs to understand is not that there are some clauses that look like this clause in there, but that there is, that they have a sense of what the fundamental points of meaning are in that document and the relevance to them. So there's always a layer of expert sort of interpretation that needs to sit on top of AI. Actually, AI becomes really just an enabler for the delivery of expert advice to the user to help them speed through their tasks. So very different technologies and very different stacks. If you were to summarize it briefly, you'd say that intelligent search really is originated in retrospective review use cases where you're looking back on historic contracts, whereas the kind of intelligent summarization capability is really being designed for a world where you're pre-signature, you're in the process of negotiation, and that really has driven the design of solutions like ThoughtRiver, which are focused on that use case.
Current climate, obviously, and the crisis we're going through is going to make it almost impossible, I guess, for people in the sector to carry on doing what they've always done. What do you hope the positive outcomes will be in the months ahead?
Yeah, first of all, I hope everyone stays safe and well, and that, you know, people are find a way to adjust their businesses and the way they're working, as we have had to, you know, to the new realities of the world. But I think that stepping away from it a bit, if you look at what's happened in previous crises, like the great financial crisis. Actually, these are times of opportunity to bring about change, which has often been coming for a number of years. And I think that certainly in legal services and corporate legal services, I think that what we'll see is an acceleration of effective, not just technologies, but new kind of ways of working, which deliver the kind of benefits that particularly corporates are looking for in processes like contracting. So I see this as an opportunity for innovation and change. I think, there obviously will be some hard times, but I think that it's actually, if anything, if you look at previous crises, it has been a catalyst for positive change overall. So I very much expect to see that this time round, possibly up to 12 months, depending on how deep, the disruption is, not just to from the pandemic, but obviously from the impacts of the pandemic, in terms of economic disruption.
Well, Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Dom. Been a pleasure. Thank you.